If you got your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. I told Ginger I had a message in mind, I had an outline in mind, and since this is secular Halloween, I really had a good message plan, to be honest with you, but it really wasn't the one that God was leading me to. And I've always enjoyed Kings in the Old Testament. It's one of my favorite books, and we're going to talk a little bit about a man that in Scripture that I really admire, and that's Elijah. And we're going to talk a little bit about him this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to begin in verse 1. 1 Kings, and I'm glad to hear pages turning. Thank you so much for bringing your Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Would you bow your heads with me as we ask God's blessings on this word and our meeting here today? Father, we praise your name this morning, and we thank you for all of us who are here gathered in your house today. Father, we're not here by accident. Lord, we're here for a reason. And I pray, Father, that anything that would separate us from the blessing that you have for each one of us here today, Lord, you would remove it. Father, that you would help us to be still and listen to that still small voice in our lives. Father, to listen to the moving and be obedient to the moving of the Holy Spirit in this place today. Father, we pray that you would help us to be drawn closer to you through something said, sung, or done here in the service today that would enable us to live a life that's more pleasing to you. Father, if there are any here this morning that don't know you as their Savior, Father, or maybe they have made that commitment at some time in their past, but Lord, that commitment has grown cold. Father, I pray that today would be the day they give their heart and their life back to you. Father, get glory from everything done here this morning, and we'll give you all praise. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen. Just to give you a little bit of background on the scripture that we're reading, it was a pretty bad time in the history of Israel at this time. There was sin in the land. Israel, as you know, they were like yo-yos. At one point, they would follow God, and the minute things got to be good for them, they would turn their backs on God. Sound familiar a lot of times, doesn't it? If we're honest with ourselves. And that's exactly what was going on. And we're at a period in Israel's history where they had turned their backs on God. There was a lot of sin in the land. And if you go back a couple of chapters over, you'll find that there's a new king in the land. His name is Ahab. Ahab, the son of Omri, came to the throne. And Scripture says that Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all others that were before him. If you don't remember Ahab, you'll probably have heard of his wife Jezebel. Jezebel was just as bad as Ahab, if not worse. And Ahab really provoked the people to sin. People had a mind of their own, but Ahab was the leader, and he put up idols, and he turned the people's attention away from God. In earlier chapter, it says that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. This was a bad dude. This was a bad, bad man. And with all of this going on, God raised up this prophet, Elijah. And Elijah, as a prophet, went to Ahab, and he told him that because of the sin in the land and because of what he had forced the people to do, that there was not going to be any rain, not even any dew on the ground. And it lasted for a period of 3.5 years. During that time, for 3.5 years, no rain, no water, complete drought. Remember last year about this time, we almost had too much rain, didn't we? You remember? It was a real wet season. I mean, I'd walk out in the backyard, in my backyard, and just mire up. I mean, it was that wet. But just a few months back in the summer, we were in the middle of a drought, weren't we? The ground was hard, crops were dying. You know, you would listen to Greg Fischel at night, and he would talk about how severe the drought was getting, and we were praying for rain. Folks, I remember in this church many, many years ago when we met at the altar and we prayed for rain. Some of you have been here a long time. You remember that night? We met at the altar and we prayed for rain, and God sent it, didn't he? He sure did. But folks, God was punishing these people, and for 3.5 years, no rain, no dew. Crops died. There was a famine in the land. People died of starvation. People died of thirst. But God provided for Elijah. Scripture said that he told Elijah to go to this little brook at Cherith, and he said, there you'll be able to drink from the brook, and I've got ravens that will be coming. They'll bring you bread in the morning and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh at night. You know, Scripture tells us, folks, that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Not always our wants, but certainly our needs. Amen? We all of us, you know, have gone through times in our lives, but if we look back on them now, we'll see where God has provided. God has provided. King David once said in Psalm 37, he said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David, a man after God's own heart, had learned to depend on God. And God takes care of his own. So God told Elijah to go to this little brook, and he commanded the ravens to feed him there. And in the middle of all this drought and starvation, God provided water and food for his own. The ravens were there right on time every morning, every evening. There was that brook. Elijah was able to be sustained. But then we find that something kind of strange happens to this man of God. That brook dries up. That brook that God had told Elijah to go to that would help sustain him dries up. I bet some of us here can identify with that situation today. The source of our happiness, the source of our contentment, the thing that gives us joy in our lives that seemingly would never run out, somewhere along the way, our brook has dried up, hadn't it? You ever go through those times where the things that would bring you enjoyment just seem to end? When those times happen, we have to remember Romans 8:28, where it says, all things work together for good to those who are called and love God and that are called according to His purpose. We've got to remember that even though we're God's children, even though we're God's church, even though we're involved in church and we're saved and we're on our way to heaven, a lot of times the brook dries up. Sometimes it may be even something that, like a money issue. Sometimes the job that we had that we were enjoying changes. Sometimes the investments that we had put in place for our retirement don't pan out as well as what we had planned. Sometimes the check that we thought was in the mail wasn't. And we end up at the end of the month where we've got more bills than what we've got money. That brook has dried up. Sometimes it may be a health issue. Folks, Christians get sick and Christians die. It's just a fact of life. We try to take care of ourselves. We try to exercise. We try to do the right things. But sometimes our health just begins to give away. If you don't believe it, look in your bulletin. Look in your bulletin there. And I listened to so many this morning that were sick and ill with cancer and with different problems. I saw it firsthand in my own parents. Most of you know them. Active people that in their later life where sickness really, really hampered and compromised what they were able to do and how active they were able to do. Sometimes the blessings of health that we've enjoyed through God just begins to give way and it dries up. Sometimes we go through disappointment. Sometimes things in our lives go wrong and we don't understand why, and nobody can tell us why. Nobody can tell us why. I know some of you here this morning in this church have experienced tragedy in your lives. You've gone through tragedies, and there is no explanation that me or anybody else can give you as to why you had to deal with that. But I want you to know, folks, that we serve a God that we can trust. We serve a God who knows all. He knows what is around the next corner tomorrow. And one day, we're going to stand in front of Him and we're going to understand that He had a purpose for all of this. All the good, all the bad that you and I go through, God's got a purpose to accomplish His will. We may not understand it now, but one day we will. But back to Elijah. Here's Elijah sitting here. He's trying to do what God wants him to do, and all of a sudden the brook dries up. If I had been Elijah, I'd have probably had a few questions. Do you ever get to a point where you question God? I've heard people say, you know what, we're not supposed to question God. Folks, God made us. We're human. I think He knows we're going to question Him. Even His Son, divine in human form, that never sinned, even on Calvary's cross, questioned His Father. He said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Folks, I think sometimes God wants us to question Him so He can give us that peace in our life that passes all understanding. Sometimes maybe it takes those questions for us to understand. But think about Elijah. I would imagine Elijah may have asked, you know, "God, am I still doing your will? You know, I've gone to Ahab. I've talked to him like you told me to. You said you would provide for me, but am I still doing your will?" I think sometimes we have a misconception of God's will. I think sometimes we think that if we are in the center of God's will, everything's going to work out just perfect for us, and it doesn't. It doesn't. Sometimes our expectations of how God is going to work in our life are much different than how He actually does. They're much different than how He actually does. Elijah was in the middle of God's will. He was right where he needed to be, and still the brook dried up. Folks, sometimes we need to take our focus off our circumstances that we're in and put it back on what the will of God really is. Because in the end, that's all that really matters anyway. He never said that our trip to heaven would be a smooth one. He said we just needed to follow Him, and He would pave the way for us. What about, you think Elijah even looked at God and said, "Lord, this brook is drying up. Have you forgotten about me? Have you forgotten about me out here?" You ever get to the point where you feel like God has forgot about you? You ever get to that point? If we're honest with ourselves, we're nodding yes. Because sometimes we do. We feel like God has just forgot about us. We feel like we are out on an island and we can't feel His presence near. We feel like we can't get a prayer past our lips. We just feel like God has forgotten about us. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we can be assured today that God has not forgotten about us. Scripture tells me that He says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are His creation. He's not forgot about us. The hairs on our head are still numbered. He knows where we are right at our place in our life, and He still loves us and He cares about us. You think Elijah asked God, "Lord, do you still love me? You said you would provide for me, and now the brook's dried up. Do you still love me?" You ever ask why you have to face those health problems in your life if God really loves you? Ever ask God why your checkbook looks so bad? If He really loves you, why He wouldn't provide for you? Ever ask God when you look and you see people living like the devil and they just seem to get blessed over and over and over again? Ever ask God why you can't bless me like you bless so-and-so over here when I'm trying to do your will? Let me ask you something. Do you think God still loved Daniel when he was in the lion's den? You think He still cared about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they had to walk through the fiery furnace? You better believe He did. You think He cared about Paul and Silas when they were chained, beaten within an inch of their life, and they were in prison, and they began to sing in the middle of the night? He cared about every one of them, and he delivered them too, didn't he? And folks, we may be going through a difficult time. We may be going through a rough patch. But if we'll still keep our eyes on the Lord, I'm convinced that he still loves us, he still cares about us, and he'll deliver us. It may not be in the way you and I planned for it to happen, but I still believe he'll deliver us. Sometimes in our lives, our brook has to dry up. And I want to just take just a couple minutes and let's talk about a couple of reasons as to maybe why that happens. Maybe God let the brook dry up for Elijah because he was trying to convince Elijah to lean on him. Think about what was happening here now. Elijah was sitting at this brook. People around him were dying of thirst. They were dying of starvation. And Elijah was getting water. He was being fed each and every day. God was blessing him. But could it have been maybe that Elijah started to depend more on that brook and more on those ravens than he did on God? Maybe sometimes we depend more on the blessing God sends our way than the one who's sending the blessing. And I wonder sometimes if our brook has to dry up so we don't take those types of things for granted. Folks, it takes faith for us to lean on God. When things are good in our lives, when everybody we know is well, when everybody we know is healthy, when the bills are paid, when everything is going well in our life, our faith, if we're truthful with ourselves, our faith kind of gets pushed to the side. But let something happen. Let that phone ring in the middle of the night because something has happened. Let a doctor walk into the room and tell the family that the prognosis doesn't look good. Folks, that's when we begin to lean on God. That's when we begin calling on God and asking and trying to seek him when in fact he's never left. I want to share a quick story. When I was down at Mount Olive, one of my professors had taken his little boy over to a park in Goldsboro to play. And there was a real high sliding board. And he tried to get his son to climb up there and come down the sliding board. And said his little boy was going, nope, not going to do it. I'm scared. He said, just climb up, son. He said, hold on, climb up, and then let go and slide down. So you'll love it. He said, I promise, and I'll be right here. Well, the little boy goes up there. He finally convinces him. He gets to the top of the slide, and he lets go, and he starts coming down the slide. And as he starts gaining speed, he got scared. And he reached over, and he tried to grab the side of the sliding board to stop himself. And he did on one hand, and it spun him off, and he fell off the sliding board, and he hit that soft dirt. Didn't hurt him, but scared him. And he got up, and he was squalling. And his daddy walked over and he dusted him off and he said, listen, he said, go up there and do it again. He said, and I tell you what, he said, I'll be standing right here. He said, and if you fall, I'll catch you. And he finally convinced the little boy to do that. He said, now don't hang on, just let go. I've got you. I've got you. Trust me, I've got you. And the little boy goes up there, and he said he could see the fear on his face, but he let go and he went down the sliding board and he came off the end. And he stood up and he ran around. He said, I saw this big smile on his face. And he shinnied right back up that ladder and went down again. And said, about the third time he came by, he said, he looked at him. He said, Daddy, you can go on now. I don't need you no more. He said, no. He said, because I'm going to stand right here. He said, because you might fall again. And when you do, I'm going to be right here. Don't we do that to God? We finally put our faith enough in him that we do what he wants us to do, and after we get used to it a little bit, we run by him and say, hey, God, you can go on. I don't need you anymore. And he says, no, you are going to need me sooner or later, because sooner or later your brook's going to dry up, and you're going to need me again, and I'm going to be right here. I'm going to be right here waiting. God wants us to learn the joy of leaning on him. We need to learn how to do that. Maybe Elijah's brook dried up so that God could guide him. Elijah could learn how to be guided of God. Sometimes our brook dries up so God can lead us into a new area of Christianity. We get into our Christian walk with God and we feel comfortable. We get to a place where we feel comfortable, whether it's sitting in church in a particular place or singing in a choir or playing an instrument or doing this or doing that. But we get into our work with God and sometimes we get comfortable. And God wants us to go a little bit deeper. He wants to lead us into something that's a little bit better, but sometimes we're reluctant to do that. I read a story not too long ago where a man tucked his little boy in for bed one night. And he got him all tucked in and he walked into the next room, and after a little while he heard thud, and that little boy had fallen out of the bed. And he went back in and he picked him up and he put him in and he said, "Son, what happened?" And the little boy said, "Daddy, I fell asleep too close to where I got in." We do the same thing in our Christian walk, though, don't we? A lot of times we get in just a little bit, and if we're not careful, the devil can reach us. When God is telling us, come out a little deeper, get a little deeper in my Christian, let me guide you into where I want you to be. I'm not going to lead you into anywhere wrong. I'm going to lead you into where I want you to be. Sometimes maybe our brook dries up so he can lead us into the area of ministry that he wants us to be at. Sometimes maybe we have to realize that maybe Elijah's brook dried up because God had a greater purpose in mind for him. And I really believe that he did. If you still got your Bibles open, look at verses 8 and 9. It said, "The word of the Lord came to Elijah," this is after the brook dried up, "saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there." When the brook dried up, the raven stopped bringing food. He didn't have any water. Elijah had to go. He had to go somewhere else. And God had provided a place for him to go. And he told him, "I've provided for you to go to Zarephath. There's a widow over there who's going to sustain you." Again, God continued to provide for his own. But I want you to read, we're not going to take the time to do it now, but I want you to read this when you get the rest of this chapter when you get home, because what you're going to find out is not only was God providing in this move for Elijah, God was also providing for this widow. When Elijah got there, he told her, he said, "Make me something to eat." And the widow told him, "Remember, there's a famine in the land." She said, "I was just getting ready. I've got a little bit of oil left in the cruise. I was getting ready to make a cake for me and my son. We were going to eat it, and we were going to die." The meal was gone. The oil was gone. There she was down to the end of her rope. Elijah said, "Make me a cake first." So the woman did. Folks, that's stepping out on faith, isn't it? She made Elijah a cake first. And it says in Scripture, folks, for 3.5 years until it rained, the barrel of meal never gave out and the oil never gave out. God's going to provide for his own. Hey, it gets even better. Not long after that, that woman's son fell sick. He fell sick and he died. Guess what? God's man, Elijah, was right there where he needed to be. The young man, the Scripture said, was dead. It said there was no breath left in him. Elijah went in and prayed to God and revived. God revived that young boy. Folks, let me tell you something. When we learn to let God lead us, we will find that he's always going to lead us into a greater purpose for him. If we'll let him lead us. How many times, folks, has God came to me and you and said, "You've got this thing, whatever, put in the blank, whatever thing you want. You've got this thing that you're holding dear. God says, give it to me. God says, give it to me." We say, "No, I can't let go of it, God." And guess what? God takes it anyway. Not because he wants to leave us without, not because he wants to leave us destitute, but because he wants to get his hands on it. Because when God gets his hands on it, he can do the same thing with whatever thing you and I have got in our life we don't feel like we can let go of. God can get his hands on it and turn it into something great, just like he did with the 5 loaves and 2 fish on the hillside. God took 5 loaves and 2 fish, fed a multitude, and picked up 12 baskets afterwards. There is nothing you and I hold in our life that is worth hanging on to and not giving it to God. He can take it and make something wonderful, wonderful out of it. I want to close with this. If you still got your Bibles open, there's one important word in two different verses. In verse 4, look what God says to Elijah. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Then if you go down to verse 9, it says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there." Notice that word, there. There. I really believe, folks, Elijah could have gone anywhere he wanted to. I think when the brook dried up, Elijah could have gone anywhere he wanted to. I think when there was a famine in the land, Elijah didn't have to go and dwell by this brook at Cherith like God told him to. Elijah could have gone anywhere he wanted to. But I don't think the ravens would have been there to feed him. I don't think the brook would have been there. I don't think he would have ever been able to minister to the widow woman. I don't think he would have ever been able to minister to the young boy that died. You see, God's got a place for every one of us in ministry. And it's not always a geographic place. A there may be teaching a Sunday school class. There may be singing in the choir. It may be playing an instrument with Miss Barbara. It may be going out and working in the nursing home ministry. It may be doing something that God is impressing on your heart to do. God's got a there for every one of us. And folks, when we are there in the place where God wants us to be, He'll bless us. He'll bless us. He absolutely will. He did Elijah, and He will you and I. This morning, let me ask you something. Has your brook dried up? Have you gone through a time in your life where the thing that you get enjoyment from, where you get contentment from, that brings you happiness, is it dried up? Do you not have any excitement in your walk with Christ? Has it gotten stale? Maybe what God is doing is trying to stir your nest a little bit to get you into a little deeper walk with Him. Maybe trying to get us to learn to lean on Him, to learn to be guided of Him, to learn that He's got a greater purpose in mind for us. You know, the reality is there may be some people that may never come to know Christ unless they hear the gospel from you. They may not listen to me. They may not listen to... They may listen to somebody like Kristen sing and their heart just might not be moved. It may be that cold. But they may hear something from you that changes their life. And you know what? If you're in the there where God wants you to be, great things will happen. Can't we all have a prayer together that God, if it means taking a deeper step in ministry for you, let our brook dry up. Dry up our brooks to get me to the place where you want me to be. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't need to wait another day. You don't need to wait one more day. You and I are not guaranteed of tomorrow. We need to make sure our calling and election is sure. Today, would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we just thank you so much for this church. And Lord, I thank you for the people that make it up. Father, I know many times our brook dries up, and Lord, it's so easy for us to turn away from you. But Father, I pray that you would help each one of us to seek to do your will more so than we ever have before. Father, if it means drying up brooks, if it means stirring our nest to get us to do what you would have us to do, Lord, we ask that you would do just that. And Father, help us as your children, Lord, to be obedient. Father, to do what you would have us to do. Lord, we know that you'll never, ever lead us wrong as long as we keep our eyes on you. Fathers, we have our time of invitation. Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts in a mighty way this morning. Lord, just have your way right now. And if there are any here that need to make that decision for you, Lord, that this would be the day they do just that. Father, this time is yours. Have your way is my prayer. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen.